meeting is being recorded.
All right. Time being 6:10, I call to order the Franklin School Committee Budget Subcommittee meeting on March 24th. The meeting is being recorded both by us via Zoom and also by Franklin TV. So those present while visuals are coming up, we have Nadia, Ruth Ann, and myself, Paul Griffith, for the school committee. We also have Steve Sherlock for Franklin TV. And then from the school administration, we have Jana Malati and Lucas Shiger. Okay. So tonight is really just essentially an opportunity to go in, refresh ourselves, and make sure that we're also well aligned as we prepare for the budget subcommittees, which are coming up over the course of the next couple of weeks, as well as FinCom presentations, which our administration and myself are going to be going to, just so that everyone has an opportunity to really know kind of where things stand. We've all been through this for the past couple of months, but we want to make sure that it is coming across so that our understanding is translating rapidly and easily to anyone who's looking at it. So I know, Jana, you've generated quite a few really fantastic and deep documents. I don't know if you want to kind of run through highlights or specifics or kind of where you'd like us to provide feedback.
Yeah, sure. So I can share the presentation with you guys. It makes it easier for everybody. But it's the fee. This is for the budget hearings. The second document that I gave to you guys. Yes. So the first page, it is a work in progress. It's a one pager of the budget highlights, the overview. You can see the total request, the increase over FY26. The net new staff is zero. You can see what's driving the costs, what's driving our request, how we are saving, and the full numbers on the right. And the next slides that you have, all the other pages, are what you had in previous presentations, updated data, right? Slide 7, which is the first page, really I only took out the health insurance because it was moved to the town budget line. Then if you go to, yeah.
So just one thing on there, I just want to make sure that we're aligning with what Jamie's been saying on the numbers there, mm-hmm. because his estimate has come down. So I think if he's looking now at, I believe, like the 7-10% range, it might be valuable to us to try and align to that, even
okay.
if we're on the high end.
Okay.
Just because I think this is great, and our messaging, I think, has definitely gotten more streamlined here.
Yeah.
But I don't want us to be suggesting that our health insurance increase is far above what the town is experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
It's really in line, and basically, when we did this, the estimate was 14. It has since drifted down to somewhere in the ballpark of 7-10. So 4% decrease on almost $9 million is not small.
Yes.
Just so that we don't get out of nowhere questions on that one. Please, not
I did. I make. I made a note here.
I didn't realize that it had decreased. So.
Yeah.
The second page, the review of budget drivers. I took the previous presentations had the health insurance included, so I removed health insurance out of it. So the percentages shifted because I removed the health insurance. So everything is updated now.
Maybe just on that, just an asterisk or something just at the bottom, just saying
removed
previous
health,
one,
yeah.
like the one shown
okay.
at, you know, at the January
yep.
meeting had health insurance built in. Just so that we don't have, again, if people are comparing
yeah.
apples to apples, we're
yeah.
in good shape.
Definitely. The next slide, which is page 11 of the presentation, it's a new slide. It's a pie chart, very simple, with all sources of revenue that we have in our budget. The dark blue is the operating. It comes from the town, which is the majority of it, 90%, almost 91%. Then you have revolving funds and circuit breaker. I did not include grants because we never include grants in our projections because they are not guaranteed. However, this year we did remove all grant paid positions out of operating requests. So all of the stuff that's paid by the special ed IDEA grant, they have been removed from our operating requests, and they're going to be paid by the grant because we did receive confirmation that the grant is coming and we are not expecting any decrease. It's also to kind of align our budget request to get close to the 2.5%.
So are we saying that essentially if that grant takes a hit, those roles would take a hit? Or would we look to incorporate them back into our budget?
That's the plan for next year.
We would need to. If the grants, Jana attended a MASBO kind of state school business
submit,
webinar where they provided information, and other districts are doing a similar.
Same thing. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to answer the question, but it was just to build context. What I would say is, we have not always done it this way, and I don't know that we would do it this way in the future. With what we know, it's only based off of what she learned during the webinar,
yeah,
and what the strategy was, because multiple districts are in financial trouble, and it was trying to say these have been continually awarded each year, and there's no reason to believe that these particular grants, right?
Yeah, this one, we are not expecting to decrease by any means. It's an entitlement grant, and the only other entitlement grant that we are expecting a decrease is Title I, and it's 15%. I'm not really counting that grant into the whole scheme of things.
Okay. But you are correct. If the grants come in lower, and we needed the positions, we'd have to fund them. So we'd have to find a way to, something else would have to decrease on a finalized budget in order for that to be fulfilled. So you are correct.
Next page is the hold harmless. So,
at first, when I saw the three bullets, I was looking like, can you put a total? I understand you may not want to because mm-hmm. that's the operating request, and that's also the total budget. It's not the operating request. However, in the
plot
on the other side,
yeah,
you've got requests there for the total, and that
79.7. Yeah.
But it's not a request.
The revolving and circuit breaker and revolving is approved by school committee. The amount that we use, it is not. You're right.
Yeah.
I'll strike that for. Yep.
That way, at least it aligns, and it can be talked to much easier.
Yep.
To address the impact of the declining enrollment. I've seen a couple of questions on it, and I think wires get crossed a little bit. So one of the biggest things is that our declining enrollment impacts the future increase in what we're getting. So basically, if we're going to be looking at an additional 300,000, we'd be looking at an additional 275,000. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come back after what we already have and decrease that. So I think the message gets a little mixed up with some folks where they think we're getting less and less money from the state because we're declining, which is why we're called, like, why the budget challenges exist. And really, the state continues to fund. It's just the increase is smaller year to year. And that also rolls back into, as Desi said, we're minimum aid. We're expected to be carrying a significantly higher burden for our local education that we don't. So this is also trying to balance that out to a degree.
Okay. Also, I think it's important that we understand that historically, just because I was like the override person, I heard consistently that we need to be closing schools because of declining enrollment. That was always why, like, the idea was the schools aren't making the moves necessary to combat the impact of declining enrollment. And I would get up a lot of times as just a citizen before I was on school committee, and I would try to say to the council, when our enrollment goes down, all it does is hurt us because we lose funding, and we don't. It's not delivered in a nice, neat package where we get to lay off teachers and stuff. It's more, we've consolidated now. We're more efficient to be able to make those moves, but we've always corrected. We've never had, because I got a question from Michael Blank early on. Yeah, I got a question early on from Michael Blank, real quick, right out of the gate, like, what's your enrollment projection for next year? And I was like, I cautioned that you don't think that's going to create all sorts of efficiencies, all sorts of savings in our budget. It'll be a little bit, easier to navigate. But yeah, it was definitely, much like the healthcare narrative and rhetoric, it was a lot like that with declining enrollment too.
Well, and I think there's kind of another layer where, let's say that we have a 50 student decline that's spread over how many grades? 13?
Yeah, 13.
Right? 13 grades, so you're losing a couple of students per grade. That's why that's why you don't see those kind of changes in teachers. Like, we are already at the upper ends of most of our class size restrictions.
That was my answer to Mike.
And
our class size is
take out three, take out four from every grade.
Yeah.
And you've taken one student out of four class sections for, K to five. And then at the middle school, again, it's very spread out. And at the high school, again, you have, because students are selecting so many different classes, it's never going to be just like, hey, you've lost four students out of this grade. Okay, half the teachers may never ever notice that.
Right.
And that's really what people need to remember. It's not we lose 50 students, therefore it should be two less teachers. It's we lose 50 students across 13 grades.
The January 27th slide deck for my recommendation has a slide which breaks down all the classes.
Yeah,
for
sizes, yeah.
For the, just if anyone, just for
yeah, that's what actually
hard numbers.
Right, reference, mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So just, we do that on purpose.
And I went even further to say we're in such financial distress that we can't float classes that maybe
were
hurt because that particular class cohort didn't want to take them.
Levels are declining, and then you can't offer the same opportunity.
Right. Yeah. And it really hurt, like, a lot of things that were sort of crushed during the pandemic and couldn't come back with as much enthusiasm, and you couldn't float it and try and get it back, get kids back engaged in it.
And I think there's also a fear in the community of those programs not coming back, so that the interest has diminished over time as a result.
Yeah, sure.
And it's not necessarily a decline in interest, it's just the fear of not having that pathway forward and that opportunity.
The overall piece I would add, I think you're all aware of it, but to vocalize to the public, the environment is not static. You've got pupils and you've taken October 1, but people come and go during the school year. You've got people finishing at the end of the year who are retiring, some people are moving out. You've got all that dynamism, and then you also have, because of declining enrollment, you have to make some adjustments. And I know you've talked to that in terms of you've re-put into the centers, you've re-zero-based budgeted, you do that. But it's a dynamic environment, and reinforcing that makes it harder to say it's a simple number and then you can go this way. It's not so simple.
And that's also one of the challenges we've had is, now that we're doing the budget sooner, there's trade-offs. I think the trade-off of having it, we've seen a value and a benefit to. But with that also, there's also a bit of us projecting what we believe will be the case. You know, you're just starting that sooner to kind of lock in what you think you need. So that's just part of it too. So and I think even the town administrator said some of the funding resources are dynamic. Those don't even get decided later on too. So there's a bunch of things at play. And we've also had to look at, because our enrollment has declined over time, we used to be able to support like a school within a school with like the Franklin Arts Academy, where now you heard a precursor to it around looking at those pathways, those innovative pathways, to look at how do we create them for multiple subject areas to try to gain interest. And one of them actually is in the fine and performing arts as well, to try to build that up. So I just think we're also trying to adapt to the needs in ways, but without stability of resources and stability of staffing, you can't get a program off the ground if you're constantly removing the teachers from each of the programs. You know, you have to, at some point, we've kind of done the work where at this point, to keep cutting, we'll just stall momentum for us to be able to kind of build back. So, and that's probably a bigger discussion for future conversations around the structural deficit, but.
And then you can see, next slide is the preliminary FY27, chapter 70. It has been updated. You can see that our hold harmless aid increased compared to last year, from 14 million to 17 million. So it's a $3 million increase in hold harmless.
And again, I think just the thing with detail there is we're still getting the money, but the calculations based on local ability to contribute has gone up that much. It was a truly dynamic scenario, the state would be expecting us to provide $3 million more compared to last year. So when people want to know how much that can jump, like really how beneficial that is, like this is exactly why it exists. We don't have those random drops, but it's also suggesting that we're very rapidly changing that overall scenario.
Mm-hmm. And the last slide, I did update. We had this in previous presentations in FY24 and prior presentations. We thought it would be a good idea to add that. This is how much the districts in the Hockomock League are spending over the required net school spending. So you can see Franklin spends 13.2% more than what it's required, but compared to the other districts in the Hockomock League, you can see that we are pretty close to the bottom.
This is a slide we've used, as you know, in the past. I like how you sorted it.
But, yeah.
We used to do it alphabetically, and you can see the through line, but I think it does show more of a dramatic. But I would say, is I remember in 2022 sharing this, not this slide, we didn't have it that year. We weren't equipped with it. And the narrative that was out there was Franklin's paying 13% higher than what their net school is. So if you just take that bullet point, it's true. Mm-hmm. That's why I went up to the microphone, because I didn't want anyone to walk away with thinking that that's above and beyond comparatively. So I didn't want to normalize that comment. But this is a good slide to demonstrate what we mean by that when we say it.
And particularly with this council, who many of them were elected because of the 44B, which is a mandate set by the state on affordable housing when you have the train lines in your town. So to just be over the threshold is all they really care about, where that's not how we want to fund our schools. Like, we don't want to do just enough. So I've been trying to, like, because when they say, like, the required...
It's not apples to apples.
Yeah, it's not, like, required. It's sort of a different kind of concept.
Is there more up-to-date stats on this available?
Okay. No, so this is data pulled from the end-of-year report, the extensive report that we fill out, and it's due at the end of September. So right now, they are reviewing the FY25 report. So we're actually in the auditing process. So those numbers will be available next year.
Okay.
says in the bottom right, 2024.
Yeah.
Because that might come up, so it's always that far behind.
Yeah. Now, if we had to project, so like this value for us is from last year, or from 2024 as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What are we now?
Because we've had the redistricting.
They are analyzing that data.
But do we know our number?
I do have that amount. I don't have the percentage above NSS, but I can get you this number.
Especially if it's lower, I think that's the next thing. And if anything, kind of having that ready, where it's like, what has our trend been over the past 10 years?
Mm-hmm. We anticipate,
and it's pretty consistent.
Yeah.
And that I think is the other, that with this data is very powerful, mm-hmm. where it's like, we're already floating around the bottom here, mm-hmm. and we're not trending in a way that is going to change that. We're trending in a way that we're going to be competing with Attleboro next.
So from the previous year that we did this, Franklin was at 13.8%. So we did, compared to the year before, it's a 0.6% decrease.
Because I think you do have this graph. I've seen it before.
I probably do.
Yeah, I know you do. So before you try to make it again, definitely, I'd say I've seen it the past 6 months.
Okay.
But it's just showing how we've been over the past, I think that one is like 5 or 6 years. But it's the same exact impact where it's, We're not static. We're not hanging out here. We are declining further.
The trend is the wrong direction.
Exactly.
And I would just think from the restructuring, I would assume that it has declined more.
Because we're not spending to keep the schools open, and we have significantly less teachers.
Decline in the salaries. Yeah.
Yep. Now this is great. I like the kind of simplistic but impactful visuals that really, they have the stories behind it that we want. Well done.
So with that, with these, Jonna worked hard to kind of re-strategize. We've done the 100-page budget book, but having like these visual snippets to tell the story or correct the narrative, like there's a couple, we're trying to be more nimble this year to think about like, how do we put out, like almost the way you kind of float through Instagram or like feeds, you know, like that seems to be where people are at. So if you have suggestions, or this will be public.
Yes. So
this could be dropped in any little.
And I did share with you three the presentation, the slideshow, so you can go through all the slides that we have, and I'm happy to take any feedback that you guys have before we finalize the presentation.
The pie graph that we used to do with our little budget. It might be worth having an update of one of those. I know we've done them in the past, and it's kind of like the same old story, but Jane specifically said, you know, it would be great if you had a child. I was like, I think we've got one of those, so it might be something that we can work with. What percentage? Because she wanted to know what percentage of salary. She goes, you know what I did? She goes, I took the full-time employees. Is it right?
It's a bar graph because we show four years worth of data, so it's not like this year's a huge shift. We're showing
that's
really
true,
kind of the consistency of those trends.
Yeah, actually, I did send her that bar graph actually last time.
We can simplify and do a pie graph for just this year, you know what I mean, for FY27.
I mean, it's just a matter of clicking a button, right? Because you have the data there. But
the data is already there. It's just...
She had said to me she took the full-time employees and divided by our salary total expense, and it came out to, and there's a ton of discrepancies around like full-time employee, like what Desi reports, and because Celia, it drives Celia crazy.
Yeah.
But Jane was like, it came out to like 60%. She's like, so I don't know how our math was doing, but it seemed to work in our favor for at least like the perspective of people to know.
I think the other thing for us to really harp on, especially with the salaries, is that I understand there's been a lot of conversation around previous contracts. And I know that the school committee did a really great job, and the administration did a great job of absorbing those costs. Mm-hmm. So like we've heard this a couple of times, you know, the 444, and really there was a carve out in our budget so that we were able to absorb it. It wasn't asking far above and beyond. But even with the newly negotiated 2.5, our salary increase is only 1.88. So again, it's showing that just because you see a number built into the contract, it doesn't mean that that is just what we come to everyone with and say, hey, we want 2.5% more for all the teachers. There are a lot of different drivers that are involved there.
Yeah.
So it also, when we're talking about I know that 444 was a previous contract. It was all accounted for in the school budget. It, the school budget did not expand, did not explode by at the same level. But it helps to kind of remind people of that narrative where it's much more complex than, you know, a contract with many, many individuals and a budget with an even larger number of levers going on. So just, I think it's great that we have it and it sets that conversation up.
Okay. The other thing that I'm a little bit worried about is like, we're very excited and proud of the 2.5%, but from what I've learned from Dr. Dutch and just like my own research in overrides and school districts, to Steve's point, it's we are a dynamic budget, so relative to other kinds of departments that are sort of steady looking for the same thing every year, our populations are growing, like we have to hire like much more, and I think that schools have a hard time living at 2.5.
Yes.
So I just want to caution as we like, you know, sort of get loud about, hey, we're at 2.5. Like what you asked us for, and we're sustainable and everything is like, I don't know that maybe in the next couple of years we can do it at 2.5, but I think it's not necessarily sustainable, so just caution.
Even now, it came at a cost to us doing it.
Yes.
So I would just say I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't have a, there's no but to this either. This is, I agree.
Yeah.
And what we decided this year was, given the context of two failed overrides and trying to have a realistic budget that just didn't get dismantled by June, where we're doing the chasing and laying off and cutting, it was like, let's go in with the right foot forward, because our intention was, can we put our sights on 2028, FY28, and look at truly strategizing, and can we remove some of the variables off the table this budget season to get more focused on it? That was truly the intention, and I've been pretty vocal about it. It took us, we had to reduce our digital learning integrations.
Yeah.
That's not a position I want to be in. In order to get other things that we needed. So I totally agree. And I will say also, just to be clear, it was not a goal of the town for us to do the 2.5, just to be clear, because I know...
Yeah, it's more just like the...
But that's like 2.5 is like what we know, like the COLAs have been, and I know 2.5 has existed. That 5-year was a projection, but it had 2.5s and then a 3.8 for schools, if you remember.
Yes, yes.
So like all of it combined, it was like, well, how do we put our best foot forward? But I totally agree with you, Ruthie, on that. It's not also, I don't want to set a precedent that next year it's not
2.1,
you know, whatever it's going to be, just based on the dynamics of the needs of the kids and whatnot. So I
17 kids from with IEPs moving into the district and things,
Right.
I think that's, I was just going to touch on that point. I think such a powerful presentation that we've seen over the years is Paula, with the amount of money that we are saving from keeping kids in district. And, you know, I brought that point up at the senior session last week, and the response was, why don't we know this? Like, give us that information to show all of the parts that the school is doing to save the town money off our bottom line. And I think that's just an important messaging piece that we really have to get out, because, you know, we aren't able to contribute to free cash, but that's essentially like our cash that we're saving the district in a way. So.
And to all of us in the room, I think we're also trying to maintain public trust. I feel like we have it, we've had it, but I think we want to continue to maintain it. And this was a way of trying to put as transparent of a budget as possible forward without doing the used car thing where we ask for more than we need, knowing it gets cut. It was like, we're trying to get out of those. Now, I know that's, you know, you could argue you always want to make sure you're prepared for whatever could come your way, but I do think this was something that, with the town surveys, all those things, we built a solid foundation for the work that you all voted on and kind of moved to reorg, the work we've done to kind of get to where we are.
Yeah.
But I agree with you that it's not sustainable either to do this. Totally agree.
They don't get in their hopes up.
No, I agree.
I think it has to
continue to be set.
And this may be a conversation for a different meeting, but I think I wouldn't be surprised if people show up at the budget hearings and want to know what is the plan when we are projecting 14% increase in healthcare and we're moving it off of our budget, and then we're projecting 30 per child and they come back with 150 per child. How do we ensure that it's being used for the purpose that the state legislators intended.
Well, I think that's the core challenge, right, is because if we projected at 30, and then we are looking at it, you know, essentially the town is getting substantially more. That's on, you know, that's the decision of the town council, whether they want to allocate the additional money given by the state specifically for schools, or if they want to allocate that elsewhere. And I think that's about the priorities that they have. And that's definitely a great conversation for joint budget. So I do want to be sensitive. I know that where we are on timing, I've glanced through and reviewed the other presentation. I don't know if y'all have looked through this at all.
Just this, Jimmy?
Yes.
Yeah, this is...
That's wild. Like, I love the approach. I love the structure. The overall strategy.
By wild.
I know, I was like, yes, I'm like, is this
it is
wild? Wild?
Yes, yes. No. Because it is...
Doing a great job.
I think it's a significant pivot in how we present it, but not what we've said, mm-hmm. and not how we've addressed things. It really codifies, I think, what I've been hearing for the past 2.5 years, and puts it all in a very, very, I'm not going to say simple, because that's not the right answer, but like, even on the very first page, right, the 2 years, the change, and really kind of where it is. Like, all right, yeah. Is it stable? Like, stabilizing, I see it once, it's like, great. And then you look at it, you're like, okay, that's enrollment, right? That's a huge deal people have been asking about. I'm talking about reorganization, the fact that the cost avoidance is going to continue to go up is fantastic. Looking at where we are versus out of district, looking at where we are for like our peers, I think this is really a wonderful way for people to see on a single slide what's happening. Circuit breaker reimbursement shooting up way more. But I know because I've already cheated ahead. Every time that we see such a huge increase in circuit breaker means that we're seeing probably 2 to 3 times that increase in pure costs that are not reimbursed. So like this, I really like this. And what I'd love is if, like, for the three of us, let's go through and just kind of suggesting if there are wording changes. We need to be careful as to how we do it for quorum purposes. So what I would suggest, take your notes down and kind of organizing them according to which one of these they're addressing, and then share them. Y'all are welcome to CC me, but obviously don't CC each other, so that we're not discussing it, but it gives us a way to really kind of get that feedback. But the framework here is fantastic.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Jana had really put a lot of thought into what have we learned over the past few years. What I will say is right now, the way it's written, you can see like the watch points, the questions, it's written for like, us. It's not like, it's not framed like publicly, but it could easily be turned into something public.
Yes.
It's just written like a member, like a watch point. A member may ask about the full cost of educating students. Like, it's, you see what I mean?
Like, and I almost like that because as they're reading it, right, they can see it and be like, oh, yeah, no, I have gotten that question from the public.
Right. Okay.
And I think that's where we can look at the very specific wording. But actually, I really enjoy that because it creates much more of that internal dialogue and narrative, where an individual might not have this opinion themselves. So when we're looking at this in front of FinCom, when we're looking at this in front of town council, however, they've heard it.
Yeah.
And it shows that not only do we have the answer, but here's the specific details, and we're thinking ahead. We already have that ready, and I think it, I really like how it reads with some of those little things. It just makes it a bit
it's
more
a lot of words.
But it is, but some of those, they break it up, right? Yeah. Because of the way you have it boxed out, and it creates those kind of hit points. Like, there was one actually that I saw, where was it? I thought it was hilarious. It was like, basically a sharp observer would notice this, and I was like,
that's the one I was just thinking.
I like
sharp
it.
Member.
I really like it.
Sharp member may ask what the full cost of education is.
Yes. And that's great, where I think, you know, because we have had multiple members ask, right? It's highlighted the fact that we've gotten these questions, people are on top of things, which is great.
Yeah.
But answering it for everyone else so that they're able to follow along. I love it. I really do, and I'm not just saying that because I constantly ask for more things.
Right now, if you look at the top right-hand corner, the top, what we can do, though, is get it out to you electronically, like you said, and then have you guys come back, and then we can get it ready
for the public
use. Okay. It's just a draft right now.
And it is also for both groups. So I think that's where we can also focus, where it's like, all right, like really say, hey, for FinCom, let's focus on these kind of specific comments. For town council, let's focus over here. And then we have kind of a master one at the end, where whether we ever publish that or not, we have all the commentary together. And then we can also collect any feedback we get and basically do like a postmortem.
Yep.
Say, great,
okay.
We covered all this stuff. See Appendix A. Here's the 5 additional questions that we got at FinCom. Here's the 10 additional questions we got at Town Council. Here are the responses to that. Great.
Yes.
And then the public has all that information at their fingertips.
I think I agree with everything. The last thing I'd also say is this type of document, if we can get it right, I think gives every school committee member or anyone who's supporting schools to have the content they need.
Accurate.
In those conversations.
Yeah, yeah.
And not feel like they're flying by the seat of their pants, or
yes.
You guys are more in-depth.
Or just in one place.
Well, not
yeah.
Yet.
See,
we
see
get
the
calls
back
all the
page.
Time, like, is this accurate? Like, I was just talking to somebody on the field, and I told them, is this right? It's all the time.
But then look, yeah, but right. I could look at the special education cost growth, you know, so.
I'm missing my mind.
So once
yeah,
we
yeah.
get this squared away, we can have it ready for public facing.
That's,
but it's just a draft
we
right
We will
now.
Share with you guys tonight. You already have access to it, but we'll share with you tonight, and you guys can just make comments and provide feedback, and then we can.
And we will get into, because
yeah.
I think we were going to reword a couple
yeah.
things that was meant for us if we were sitting at the seat.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if we just reframe
yeah.
it a bit, if you like the format and you like the idea, I think we can just reframe. Some of them are like really specific,
yeah.
us talking to each other, like.
I mean,
you know?
we do get questions from members
right.
all the time, so we try to incorporate those questions as well in the document, so we, you know.
I can see your respective tones, those are very
yeah.
ignorant. It's like, yeah, that one's Lucas, that
yep.
one's John. I was like,
stay
maybe don't put that one in there.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But that's what I enjoy, because it does come off as that kind of conversational approach.
Yeah.
Instead
mm-hmm.
of just raw numbers, we have the numbers in this presentation. Here it really sets things up and creates that dialogue, and I think it's a great starting point where we can work a lot with it.
Okay.
But yeah, no, this is...
Yeah, this is
this
the best.
Is wild.
Okay, good.
I just there's no better phrase. I love it.
So good.
We'll
thank you.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Right.
So
okay.
Just takeaways. We'll share electronic version to kind of get this thing squared away.
Yep.
The feedback you gave on the slide decks, what needs to be edited, updated, and then some requests for different information to be packaged a certain way. Is there anything else that we need to talk about tonight as far as
not from y'all, but just for this group, you know, I know that we're going to be getting to the Joint Budget Subcommittee in just a couple of weeks. We will be having an update and a actual agenda set ahead of time, so we're really looking to make sure that we're all aligned, so all three parties come to the table together. Main thing there is to remember a couple of things. First off, everyone is coming as a representative of their respective groups with their respective goals. For us, it is very important that we're able to continuously navigate and steer towards accurate information. We're already looked at, you know, by these other groups as very accurate individuals when it comes to our budget, but then also being those advocates, and that's where I think we need to make sure that we are very vocal. And I don't know if you have any questions. I know you've been through this adventure before. I know you've watched it.
Yeah. Not aiming all the wrong.
I'm not. I'm not worried about either one.
Not worried about that.
Nothing off the top of my head, but
okay.
Once I deep dive into this, I'll sure I'll come up with some.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel like you've done a great job.
Okay.
It's amazing, Donna, that you've understood so much of the history of this town and where we've been in such a short time. So thank you for watching all those old meetings and showing
oh, yes.
like how we got here, because
yeah. yeah.
it's key that you understand that.
So
and you able to put
I watched all the meetings.
So what she goes to sleep
back
with.
To 2023. Everything that's posted, I watched.
Yeah,
to make sure
I believe it.
No, but I did.
Well, there is a story to be told, and so it is important that people understand the full story.
Yeah.
That's all.
I think it's important to just continuously reiterate how significant it is to close schools. Like, people who aren't in school systems don't understand the impact that has on a community and the parents, and how much
yeah.
stress it causes.
Yep, yeah.
been through it twice.
Yeah.
Why is a headline in news anytime school gets closed?
Yeah,
it's always
cool.
a headline.
And you look at it, we're kind of ahead of the curve on that. You know, it's now making statewide news
mm-hmm.
about how a lot of schools are considering, a lot of districts
yeah.
are considering
yeah.
closures and consolidation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've been through that, and we're spearheading it in a lot of ways because we were being realistic and proactive. But essentially, we were just tip of the iceberg on that front.
At the senior center, I had a gentleman say, was it Brian? He said to me, as our structural deficit continues to linger and grow, we are making our schools look like city schools, and we want to stay a small town, the rest of the town stay a small town, but we're making the schools look like city schools. And I'm like, well, physically, in appearance, maybe we're consolidated, but you know, not to pick on city schools, but our educators are top notch. So it's always like that balancing trick of like, trust me when I tell you we're not like, you know, Boston. Like we're still turning out the best students and we have the best educators, but.
I've had all positive commentary with parents from the restructured systems with the classroom and the teacher
yeah.
ratios and just the overall vibe this year with all of the parents, including today, getting my nails done. And, you know, parent next to me, how is your child doing this year? They're having a great year.
Good.
So, all positive comments.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, I do want to be respectful. We've got to make sure we get down there and give the scene plenty of time to set up. So, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Sorry.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.